J1, number 7A.
What we must see is what we are doing is actually trying to give a warm overall tone to mind. Because it's just like when we ask, what is God? And we had that term God, and it was just a cold word that means really nothing to us. But when Mrs. Eddy came along and was able, through divine revelation, to define God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, this gave a little bit of warmth to that term God. Now, we have the term mind. And mind by itself is something which could be very abstract. Now, what we are doing is coming along and giving warmth to that term mind. Do we see that? This is what we're doing. Now, it may seem to be academic. It may seem to be maybe not oftentimes so inspiring when I have to go over definitions and quoting from Science and Health. But you see, this is the nitty-gritty of our work. We have to do the nitty-gritty. Now, this nitty-gritty will give us a warm tone of mind. So we have mind. And eventually we won't always have to say creator, producer, cause, parent mind, whatever. We'll be able to drive the car and just say mind and know that mind is the basis of the universe. But if I just walk in and say, okay, mind is the basis, we would all have, I don't know how many there are here, each one of us would have a different definition for mind. Now, Mrs. Eddy has, in her textbook, divinely defined mind through the ideas which characterize mind. Therefore, these ideas are totally free of human opinions about what mind is. These are divinely objective facts about what mind is. Therefore, we must learn them, and oftentimes it's cold, and it may seem academic in learning, but this is something that finally becomes so warm because you begin to already get the feeling of mind. So we must, in a way, laboriously go through these ideas in a very tight way, so to speak, and in kind of an academic way. And when doing this, one often has to give up an inspirational talk, you know, and it gets to be where you're just kind of like a schoolmaster, you know, going, now, let's figure out the definition of cause and all this, right? And it doesn't seem quite inspirational, but we must do it because we know that in the long run, it's that long-range plan that we're looking for. And that long-range plan is to get a warm feeling of mind. All right? Now, we can do this through the ideas which characterize mind. Now, let's go on and let's see what else is given as a divinely objective fact which characterizes mind. And we see in the textbook, we find this term emanation. Now, this just is something else. Mrs. Eddy uses emanation as an idea which characterizes mind. Now, we see that because mind is the source and mind is the origin of being, then from a source something must emanate. We know this. Something must emanate or proceed. And this is what emanate means. To emanate means to flow forth or issue from a source. To proceed from something as a source, fountain, or origin. To spring. So therefore, to emanate means to flow forth or to proceed from. Now, therefore we see that mind, if mind is a source, therefore from a source something must emanate or flow forth. So we say then, naturally, what emanates from mind? What flows forth from mind? And let's see what the textbook says. Mrs. Eddy says, all truth proceeds from the divine mind, or science is the emanation of divine mind, or man springs from mind, or action proceeds from mind, or she says spiritual sense emanates from mind. So this is what is emanating from mind. Ideas emanate from mind, man emanates from mind, truth emanates from mind, action emanates from mind. Spiritual sense is emanating from mind. So the true image or divine ideas are emanating from mind. Now, never, as we have seen, are illusions emanating from mind, or matter emanating from mind, or sickness emanating from mind, or sin is emanating from mind. No, ideas, man, true man, emanates from mind. Now, we go on. And another idea which characterizes mind is influence. Now, if mind is the only creator and producer and cause or power or force or action, you see, that means that something is influencing, right? If mind is a creator, and if mind is producer, and if it's power, then it stands to reason that mind is the only influence. And it's actually, mind is the only influence to man in the whole universe. And just to look at the definition of influence, we see that influence means a flowing in, into, or upon the ability or power sufficient to produce an effect. So mind is a power, as we've seen, sufficient to produce an effect. Mind is a power which influences. Therefore, that's why in science and health we have such phrases as mind influences, the exalting influence of mind on the body, or the supporting influence of omnipotent mind. Now, if one really understood through spiritual understanding that mind alone, the divine mind alone, is the only influence, therefore man no more would believe in the influence of astrology, in the influence of the moon, in the influence of people, how we live in a person universe, and how people influence us so much. Mind, it really should be the only influence. Mind ideas should be that which influences, what spiritual understanding alone should influence us. We even have the fact that sickness influences, or these epidemics like influenza, you know, we have the feeling here that would influence us. Any type of sickness, disease influences. In reality, putting this aside, mortal mind's illusion aside, it's divine mind, and what mind is saying about reality is what really should influence us alone. Now, we come to a very important point. We come to a characteristic of ideas. Now, we see and ask, what emanates from mind? And we saw that ideas emanate from mind. Now, there's something when we come to this fact of ideas, and if we want to understand the terminology in science and health, and therefore understand what we're talking about in the science of Christian Science, again, in a very fundamental way, we get down to the nitty-gritty, just to be able to explain to others, if we know it ourselves, what these basic things are. And we so often come across the expressions then of illusions, thoughts, and ideas. And we have three different degrees of terminology here. Illusions, thoughts, and ideas. Now, we know that there's only one mind, and this mind emanates ideas. But this illusions and thoughts and ideas, all, as you begin to get the tone already, relate to those three degrees. So in science and health, when Mrs. Eddy talks about illusions, she's talking about that first degree of mortal mind which entertains illusions. So instead of saying mortal mind, she may talk about illusions. So therefore, you know that she's speaking about the first degree of mortal mind and its physical beliefs entertains illusions. Or in science and health, in our study, we went across thoughts. Well, thoughts actually are used in a second degree of human mind, which entertains thoughts. So thoughts are used in reference to that second degree when one speaks about thoughts. Now, when one speaks about ideas, one is speaking about the second degree? When one speaks about ideas, one is speaking about the third degree, or the divine mind. So the divine mind entertains ideas. So on the first degree, we speak about illusions. When we're speaking about the second degree, we're speaking about thoughts. And when we're speaking about the third degree, we're speaking about ideas. Now, just in a scholastic way here, we see that illusions, just the definition of illusion alone, is an illusion as a noun, means an erroneous perception of reality. It means an erroneous concept or belief, and loosely a delusion. Or it means the state or condition of being deceived by such perceptions or beliefs. So, illusion means, therefore, an erroneous perception or erroneous conception. It's an erroneous thing, illusion. Now, thought, what does thought mean as a noun? Thought means the act or process of thinking. Thought, the act or process of thinking. Or thought is the product of thinking. An idea, what does idea mean? Idea is that which exists in mind, and it's a product of mental activity. And then another definition of idea is an image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. So, illusion is an erroneous perception or conception. Thought is the product of thinking, and idea, they have it as a product of mental activity. Now, Mrs. Eddy therefore presents these different terms in this way in Science and Health. She first of all uses ideas and illusions as being diametrically opposed. So she'll say, therefore, she's speaking about illusions as being diametrically opposed to ideas. Now, this means that that first degree of mortal mind is diametrically opposed to the third degree of spiritual understanding, which is very obvious. If one in the first degree of mortal mind's false belief, where we saw were passions and fears and pride and envy and deceit and hate and sin and sickness, if one's whole consciousness is filled with sickness and hate and revenge and evil thinking, this is a diametrically opposed consciousness to this third degree of spiritual understanding, which thinks in terms of wisdom and purity and spiritual power and love and health and holiness. You can see that that first degree, can't you, of illusions is diametrically opposed to ideas. So in Science and Health, she's always using illusions as being absolutely opposed to the third degree of ideas. And this is why she'll say that mind is not the author of matter, and the creator of ideas is not the creator of illusions. Or she'll say, matter and its effects, sin, sickness, and death, are states of mortal mind which act, react, and then come to a stop. They are not facts of mind. They are not ideas, but illusions. This is how we've read her textbook so many times, but you see she's using illusions and ideas as being diametrically opposed. And she also, because she diametrically opposes ideas and illusion, she always speaks, of course, of ideas in a positive and in a divine way, and therefore she's always speaking of illusions in a negative way. And here is something which I catch myself saying too, but it's just kind of a fun thing. One thinks of how we say, you know, well, I had a bad idea today, or that was a wrong idea. Where actually one begins to see that one says, well, that was a real illusion, you know, or that was actually a wrong thought, as we'll begin to see. But one never can have a bad idea or a wrong idea if one is looking out from the divine mind. So the correct scientific terminology, one doesn't say bad idea. It was an illusion, see, or a wrong thought. This is the terminology of science. We can be that concise in our speaking. Now, that's the first degree and the third degree are diametrically opposed. Now, what about that second degree? That second degree of the human mind, which so many people appear to be on, is a transitional state. Now, as man evolves from the first degree, he can't jump into the third degree, so to speak. Just kind of bounce into the third degree from all of a sudden coming out of sin and jumping right into holiness. It's just really something that is kind of impossible. Man naturally goes into a moral state. From sin, he comes into a nice moral good state. One must make that state into a moral state before one jumps into the spiritual. So those degrees, as Mrs. Eddy presents them, are irresistible steps that each man takes from a physical, if he finds himself there, into a moral state. Now that is a transition state in order to get one into a more spiritual a realm of being. Now, that is the human mind state, which is a transitional state, and that's a state between mortal mind and the divine mind. So therefore, we can see that many of us, and we are at that second degree, where we can very easily one day think out from illusions and say, wow, you know, like the world, it's all going bad and everything's all awful, you know. And yet the next day we can be so filled with spiritual awareness and consciousness that we're entertaining divine ideas. That capability of the human mind is to be able to entertain both mortal mind's illusions and yet just turn right around and be able to look out from the divine mind ideas. So the mortal mind is actually at a transitional place. Now, this is why in the textbook we see Mrs. Eddy uses thoughts, and she uses thoughts in different ways because she's using thought as a second degree of transition, knowing perfectly well that thoughts can be either mortal or they can be divine. So she will qualify her thoughts. In a list here I have, she will say either immortal thoughts, or she'll talk about mortal thoughts. She'll talk about spiritual thoughts, or she'll talk about material thoughts. She'll talk about conscious thoughts, or she'll talk about unconscious thoughts. She'll talk about inspired thoughts, or she'll talk about uninspired thoughts. She'll talk about free thoughts or imprisoned thoughts, exalted thoughts or depressed thoughts, pure thoughts or impure thoughts. You see, she's showing that thought at its transitional stage can be pure at one time, and at one time thought can be impure. This is just the terminology which she uses. Now, we just are awake to that. Again, a question comes up which is easy for us to answer, and that is, how are then ideas to be distinguished from illusions? Looking out from this second degree, which many of us find ourselves on, we think, well, now how would I know if I'm entertaining ideas, and or whether that was just an illusion, you see, that I'm thinking? Well, we understand this by learning the origin of each. If our consciousness is looking out from the divine mind and we're working in our spiritual work and understanding, we're looking out from ideas. But we very well can tell if we're looking out from mortal mind and in sickness and all this, that's entertaining illusion. We can tell by learning the origin if thought is divine or if it is mortal. Now, we must see this as a fact in science, and that is that on the second degree of human mind, in the human mind realm, that all thoughts have an effect. All thoughts have an effect. Now, whether a thought is positive or negative, it has an effect. But we must see that the most powerful thought predominates, and the most powerful thoughts are spiritual thoughts. That's why we must hold on to our spiritual thinking, because it is the most powerful thought. Now, we see that mortal thought appears to produce error, and that divine thoughts appear to produce harmony. But all thoughts have their effect, and we know this. This is something that's very natural with us. Now, we know, again, something that is very natural is that ideas spiritualize thoughts. Obviously, when we're looking out from the divine mind and culturing a divine mind awareness, then we see that ideas spiritualize thoughts. This is actually, this question of ideas and illusions and thoughts is taken up in this compendium number 1, and I believe it's section 13. It goes into this question of illusions and thoughts and ideas in a much deeper and actually in a review way that you could, if you'd like, review the difference between illusions, thoughts, and ideas as used in science and health. So we see that mind produces ideas, and that mind alone is a central sun in its own system of ideas. So what are then ideas? Now, an idea which emanates from mind, as the definition that we all more or less like, I think, is that idea is an image in mind, and that it's the immediate object of understanding. So can we see that idea is a spiritual image that proceeds from mind? This is hard again. It's hard to know how we're feeling about this if it's just that I'm throwing out words here, because these things are so beautiful when one sits and thinks about it. That mind creates ideas, and that idea is a spiritual image. Idea is an image in mind. So therefore, ideas are not just an abstract concept. Idea is the substance of reality. Now, this is so important to understand it. It's really the key to reality. It's a key to the whole study, if we can see it. That mind creates idea, and that whole substance of reality is idea. The substance of reality is not matter. Matter is not the substance of reality. Idea is the substance of reality. Idea is the real substance of reality. Now, you see, this is how it can be reasoned, and I like to go over it because it's something that's so basic. You see, because there's, as we've seen, and I just recapitulate, there's only one mind. There's one mind. And this mind creates the image that we see. Now that image which we see, mortal mind will say that image which we see, the substance of that image which we see is matter. We know that. That's our teachings. We've learned it. But divine science says no, the substance of that image is idea. Idea is the substance of that image. If we can see that idea is the substance of the image, it absolutely will free us totally of a time, space, life, and death concept. This is the key, really. It's a total key position, as I can see it in science, to see that idea is the substance of reality. Because, you see, that therefore frees us, if it's an idea, if the universe is idea, it frees us of time and space, and it frees us of life and death. Because, you see, ideas are an image in mind. Therefore, ideas are pure. Ideas are unchangeable. You can say ideas are ever operative. Ideas are immortal. Therefore, ideas are eternal. Therefore, our ideas are free of time and space. Ideas exist in mind, and they're free of time and space, and they're free of life and death. They're immortal, and they're eternal. That's how we get our timeless, spaceless, deathless concept. Because we know that the real substance of idea, of being, exists as an idea in mind. Therefore, their idea is timeless, spaceless, and deathless. An idea cannot die. An idea doesn't have time or space. An idea exists in mind, therefore it's timeless and spaceless. If we can see that idea is the substance of reality, we absolutely break mortal mind's false belief of a time-space world. It's an idea world, and we'll soon see that universally. And therefore an idea is divine, and an idea is perfect. Now, this is it. Our whole creation consists of ideas. That's reality at its deepest level, really, is that the real substance of being is idea. All right, so idea is an image. Now let's look at that image. Therefore, that one mind creates the image, and that image, the substance of that image, is idea. Now, image. Let us see what image means, just to get the power and tone here of mind. Now, image, its Latin root means to imitate. Image means a reproduction of the appearance of something, a likeness. It means an optically formed duplicate. It means an optical reproduction of an object. It means a mental picture of something. An image means that which what forms a counterpart or likeness of something. Now, again, an image is an optical reproduction of an object. You see, an image is a mental picture. Therefore, an image is something we see, right? An image is something we see. We see mental images. So that mind is a power that forms the image. Mind forms that which we see. Mind forms that mental image which we see. And that mental image which we see, the substance of that mental image which we see is idea. So can you get the power of mind, that mind can form that mental image? It doesn't need matter to run around and look like it creates things to fill up our universe with mental images. And that if man didn't have matter and its laws, that we wouldn't have it'd be a void image. No, mind creates the image, mind creates the picture that we see. And the substance of that picture or image which we see is idea. It's a spiritually mental image. Now in the compendium we read that divine ideas are the only images that reflect reality. These ideas are created by mind and constitute true creation. So, and this is how we see it throughout science and health, that mind forms its image and the whole substance of that image is idea. And the other divine fact that we saw was that divine mind projects the true perfect image, and it's just, again, mortal thinking that distorts that perfect image. Now, another characteristic, therefore, on our list for mind is thought. And we have gone into thought. We just saw that thought, therefore, is that which proceeds or seems to come from the human mind. So, therefore, we qualify this and we say that the divine, the human mind entertains, therefore, what we're after is to entertain divine thoughts. In other words, our consciousness is always filled with the divine system or reference or filled with ideas or divine thoughts. Now, it's interesting that the ideas of the divine mind, which seem to come to the second degree of human awareness, are called in biblical terminology angels. You know, we think of angels, and one says, well, now, where does angels fit into this whole picture of science? You know, one will think, well, now, angels are kind of a churchy thing, you know. But we think, well, now, what should we do with angels? How does angels fit into scientific thinking? We can't really talk about angels when we're talking about laws and orders and systems and rules. Well, we see in that Mrs. Eddy states that angels are God's thoughts passing to man. So actually, in biblical terminology, divine thoughts are often called angels. The divine thoughts, when they're God's thoughts passing to man or divine ideas coming to human comprehension, that is what you would be called angels or divine thoughts. So we say divine thoughts now instead of angels. Now, another idea which characterizes mind is light. Light has, as an idea of mind, in a symbol of mind, has been with us since biblical times. And light, therefore, is just a symbol of mind. And light illustrates that mind itself has the inherent ability to present or make known its creation. Therefore, light is that symbol that wants to show that mind has the ability to present or to make known its creation, to form the image, that mind has that ability inherent within itself to present its creation. It needs no other source. It presents itself, its creation. Therefore, mind not only creates, but mind has the inherent ability to present its creation or to make its creation known. Therefore, light is always used in the symbolism of mental or spiritual illumination. And we see in science and health, Mrs. Eddy will talk about mind that shines by its own light.